Support for this show comes from Mercury. There's an art to making the complex feel simple. Everything should be in sync so that even the smallest part serves a bigger purpose. Simplicity can transform your business operations. That's why Mercury powers your financial workflows from the bank account, so ambitious companies have the precision, control, and focus they need to perform at their best. Apply in minutes at mercury.com.
Hello, Giants fans, and welcome to a new edition of the Valentine's Views podcast here on Big Blue View Radio. Please like, share, and subscribe if you're watching us on YouTube, and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts across the Big Blue View Radio network. All right, this is our Monday show, which means that it's almost free agency time, and here to help me talk about the Giants and free agency coming up is Kim Jones of Newsday, who I don't think we've had on the show before. Kim, thanks for hopping on.
Of course, Ed. Yes, we've had many conversations, but I guess not on Zoom.
Not on Zoom. Nope. You usually sit, what, two, three seats over from me in the media room? So
yes. Yes,
yeah, so
we're both trying to tune out the noise.
there's no noise. There's no misbehavior in the Giants media room. There are no loud people. We're not going to throw anybody under the bus and name names, are we?
No.
But hey, I do appreciate your hopping on, and did want to. Want to really, you know, kind of dive into free agency here, you know, with teams able to negotiate with players here this week. You know Saquon Barkley as well as anybody, you know, in among the media folks, you know, that cover the Giants. Your thoughts on where Saquon's heart is at this point. Does he really want to stay, or in your mind, is he just going to take the best offer and feel like it's time to cash in?
Well, without, you know, either of us obviously knowing what an offer is or what offers have been, you know, hypothetically extended to Saquon, it's hard to say, you know, listen, if one team feels like he is an absolute difference maker and want to really make a commitment, and you and I could go on and on with those kinds of fantasy type stories that would be better perhaps for Saquon Barkley. But the Saquon Barkley I've grown to know over these years is incredibly loyal. He likes the idea because he has told me so. And I've also talked to Michael Strahan about this. He likes the idea of being a Giant for life. And obviously, Michael had the fairy tale ending, and we can only hope that Saquon would be so lucky, because he's deserving of that as well, in my opinion. But I think Saquon is grounded. I do think he wants to remain a Giant, and I think that this is a fascinating time of year for him to hear what hypothetically and realistically is out there for him, and then we presume he, you know, will match that up with where he is with the Giants, and we'll get a resolution. I know that's not breaking news, but this has been pretty quiet this time around with Barkley and the Giants.
Yeah, I think that my gut feeling is, from when we talked to Joe in Indianapolis, my gut feeling is that Joe feels like he's very comfortable with whatever the value is that he would offer Saquon. And I think he's comfortable with the idea that if Saquon can get more than that, then so be it. You know, but I think Joe has his ideas at a lot of positions as to, this is what I'm willing to pay, this is how I want to structure my finances. And I'm not, he doesn't really care much who the player is. You know, he has his numbers, and he really doesn't want to go beyond that. I don't know if you, yeah, I don't know if you agree with that take.
Yeah, I do for the most part, Ed. And I think that's the way a general manager has to operate. I think that's the way the good ones do. I believe that's the way Brandon Bean operates. And Joe Shane had a front row seat in Buffalo all those years, learning essentially from Brandon Bean, who's clearly one of the better general managers, you know, in the NFL. So it doesn't surprise me that Joe can be, you know, less emotional about a decision like this. He didn't draft Saquon Barkley. Saquon was entrenched here long before the Dable and Shane, you know, regime came in. So I can see both sides. I feel like I see both sides fairly clearly. My heart still tells me that Saquon would like to retire a Giant.
Yeah, I know John Mara would like that as well. He would, you know, mm-hmm. he watched the Coughlin era end in a way he didn't want it to end. He watched mm-hmm. the Odell Beckham era end in a way he didn't want it to end. He watched the Eli era end in a way he didn't want it to end. And you know, going back to John's father, to Wellington, there's a lot of sentimentality in the Mara family. And you know that it's going to hurt John if Saquon moves on, especially if Saquon winds up wearing an Eagles jersey.
Boy, that would be a change for everyone involved, right? Especially the Eagles fan base, the Giants fan base. It certainly is. It's in his home state of Pennsylvania, I can tell you that. But other than that, I don't think he has a particular pull toward the Eagles. It would be interesting to know if just simply not moving very far would appeal to him at all. But that's not a conversation I've had with him.
Yeah, absolutely. Kim, let's talk about the other big name Giant who's hitting the free agent market this week, and that is Xavier McKinney. And again, we talk with Joe, we talk about positional value. And I think in the lead up to free agency, we've seen teams cut a lot of safeties. The safety market's kind of there's a glut, I guess, is the word that people use. And it's another position teams don't seem to want to pay big money. The flip side of that is Xavier McKinney's a guy that the Giants drafted, although it wasn't Joe who drafted him. He's 24 years old. He's one of the Giants' best players. And I think he's going to leave. But it's not necessarily great business when you're trying to build something to let a 24-year-old kid who's one of your best players go. Just your gut feeling on whether Xavier McKinney really wants to stay and whether he ends up staying or not.
Yeah, I don't know that from McKinney down the stretch of the season, I got a feeling that it was tugging at him emotionally. You know, sometimes with Saquon and sometimes the question Saquon is asked at his locker, you can kind of tell where he's coming from and you can sometimes see the weariness a little bit or, mm-hmm. you know, the smile. I mean, right. You know, he has a great smile and I'd be remiss if I didn't acknowledge we see that an awful lot from Barkley at his locker as well. I think McKinney probably has a little bit of a different feel about the Giants. And they drafted him. They stood by him after that accident last year where it cost him, nearly cost him. He would tell you his career because his hand, you know, could have been severely compromised. He got lucky. And he has said that. Essentially, but these two players, in my opinion, are very different in terms of what they give us, how emotional they are about their situations. And I actually give McKinney credit in the sense that, Ed, I don't know that he sees this emotionally at all. I think he sees it as a payday, and I don't think there's anything in the world wrong with that.
No, I don't either, because it's a... You know, it's a short career and you make hay while you can. I think Xavier McKinney has enjoyed being a Giant, but I think Xavier McKinney came out of Alabama. Xavier McKinney wants to win. and he wants to get paid. And my gut feeling is that Xavier McKinney thinks he's a better player maybe than he's gotten recognized for. So we'll see what happens there. The other thing is, and just your two cents on this one, there's a shot right now that he can come back to the Giants. But had Wink Martindale stayed as defensive coordinator, I think the shot was zero. I think there was no chance. I just had a feeling that there was a discord there. So I think in that sense, it at least Wink being gone at least gives the Giants a chance to keep McKinney.
You may be right. I don't have a great feel for that. I think that they had mended fences, if you will, at some point, but that may be true. That may be true. That one I'm not as sure of.
Vacations can be tricky. You already know how to book flights and hotels, but now the only thing you're missing is, you know, the actual travel experience. Because is it really a vacation if you're just sitting around like you would at home? You need a tool to get the most out of your time away. That's where Viator steps in. You can book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected. And 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Support for this show comes from Mercury. Financial operations are needlessly complex. Startups have to cobble together a patchwork of tools to reconcile transactions from different sources and struggle to glean answers from platforms that speak different languages. Simplicity can transform your business operations. That's why Mercury powers your financial workflows from the bank account, so you can pay bills faster, stay in control of company spending, and speed up reconciliation. Apply in minutes at mercury.com and join over 100,000 ambitious startups that trust Mercury, not just for banking and credit cards, but for the precision, control, and focus they need to transform their financial workflows and perform at their best. Mercury, the art of simplified finances. Apply in minutes at mercury.com. Mercury is a financial technology company, not a bank. Banking services provided by Choice Financial Group and Evolve Bank and Trust. Members FDIC.
You know, let's talk a little bit just about the Giants offseason in general. You know, from starting with Wink and all the stuff that went on with the coaching staff, and now we're, you know, there's all this chatter about Daniel Jones and Rich Eisen going on his show and saying the Giants are completely done with Jones and all the quarterback chatter, and you have free agency for Saquon, free agency for McKinney. If I used the word tumultuous to describe the way the Giants offseason has been so far, is that off base?
I think I've thought about it, and I have thought about it, and I've thought it's been messy. So, you know, there's probably some common ground between those couple of words.
Yeah, messy is probably a good way to describe it. I think it hasn't been ideal. It hasn't been what you want necessarily.
Well, and someone in the room, Ed, someone in the room, wherever that room is, someone in the room has to be an adult. And I thought, and I've said this, I thought it was embarrassing, the back and forth between Wink and Daboll. And I probably, I don't have a side in this, but Daboll and Shane are the two who are remaining.
Right.
And I just thought in the way that played out with anonymous sources on both sides, making sure that the voice got heard when you knew it was Wink, on one end, you knew it had to be Daboll, perhaps Daboll and Shane, but certainly Daboll on the other. I thought it was regrettable. I thought it was embarrassing. And I thought it was childish. And I would say that to their faces, not that they care what I think and they shouldn't care what I think, but I would say that to them. I thought the tit for tat and, you know, this person has an anonymous quote. We all know who had them. It doesn't really matter. And I'm not getting on the reporters at all. But, no. You know, this person was in this camp. This person was in this camp. And I thought that it did no one any good.
No, I would agree with that. It simply put was not a good look for the organization in any way, shape, or form. And that leads us to talk a little bit about Brian Daboll. I mean, if I look at the Giants, if you flip-flop the 2 years, everything would look rosy with the Giants. Everything would look great.
I wrote that. Absolutely. Yeah. Yep.
Everything would look great. Everybody would feel great. But right now, I don't think anybody feels great. Bad year, messy offseason, the Daboll wink stuff, turning over so much of the coaching staff, all the stuff about, you know, Daboll's behind the scenes volatility. And as you said, we don't know how much of that's true because people will say what they'll say to make their side and make their case and make themselves, you know, look better. We know Daboll's an emotional guy. We've seen it on the sideline. But I mean, mm-hmm. I mean, just in terms of entering year three, I mean, how much pressure is he under? And you know, in your mind, how much of that is sort of self-inflicted, you know, if there is any pressure?
That's a good point about the self-inflicted. I think there's always pressure, Ed. This is going into year three. This has not gone well. The first year did. The last two have not, as you noted. There just seems to be what I perceive as a disconnect from the Brian Daboll I got to know in Buffalo to the one that I see now. Now, in fairness, while I was in Buffalo a lot, I wasn't in Buffalo every day. This season, I was with the Giants pretty much every single day. So, you know, that may be sort of explaining why I feel this way about Daboll now. I don't think anything has happened that they can't, you know, come back from, that they can't build on and be better. I don't think they're at that point at all, but I don't think they want to take too many more steps in that direction. You know, Mike Kafka is coming back. We haven't talked to him, of course, so we don't know his feelings about coming back, and we don't know if he'd share his real feelings with us anyway, because he's pretty good at, you know, being a poker player when he talks to us. But I just look at this coaching staff. It has gone through now another overhaul. They better have gotten it right with the offensive line. I think we can fairly say that. You better be right with that, because that's a big one, and that's a big one that Giants fans can latch on to, and for very good reason. It's been atrocious, and they've got to turn that around. But I think they have now piqued our interest in terms of, I'm watching everything so closely. And I generally do anyway. That's part of the Virgo in me. But I just feel like since that messy end of the season, I feel like I've been on like high alert for every syllable. And you're evaluating, did that syllable sound the same way it used to? That kind of thing.
And I think that once we're able to start getting around the team again, and once we start to see them on the field, I think you, me, and everyone will be tuned into, we'll all turn into body language experts and voice experts and try to figure out just from the tone and just from who's going near who and how they're interacting with each other, you know, what the situation really is. I know that in retrospect, when I think about the relationship between Daboll and Wink, I think about watching practices, and I'm not sure I I think I very rarely saw the two of them on the same field during practices. And then when I think about games, I think, oh, that's why I so often saw Wink at one 30-yard line and Daboll at the other 30. You know, it's just interesting. You start thinking about those things, but you're right. I think we'll all be tuned into all of that interpersonal stuff a whole lot more maybe than we were. And that, in a way, I guess that kind of answers my question. It sort of turns up the heat a little bit. It just turns up the attention on everything.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree. I think that's a fair way to put it.
Yeah. I wanted to mention, you mentioned being in Buffalo, and just in case folks don't know, that's from your former life with the NFL Network when you were running around everywhere. Oh, so just right. I need to know, since my son went to college 2 miles from where the Bills play, just do you miss Buffalo? Yeah, my son went to Hilbert, which is right around the corner. So you miss Buffalo?
Okay. I'll tell you what, it's a great locker room. There, mm-hmm. The quarterback is second to none in my experiences with, you know, players over the years. Josh Allen's amazing. You know, haven't seen him or talked to him in a while, so this is now going back a couple years, but my sense is he hasn't changed. And a guy who is keenly aware of his obligations and, you know, wants to fulfill them. You know, is every question a picnic? No, of course not. That goes for anybody. But he understands the role that he plays and the city he plays in, the town he plays in, the fact that the Bills are so important. And I think a lot of the players there, but led by Josh and probably led by a couple players who aren't there anymore now, and Tre'Davious White, and Jordan Poyer, who, you know, really valued the community interest in the Bills, because it's sort of, you know, it's a small town, and they are beloved, of course, and they do a really good job in many, many ways, including having a guy who is on the short list for best general manager in the NFL, that's for sure, in Brandon Bean.
You mentioned Jordan Poyer. Mm-hmm. If the Giants lose McKinney, you like Poyer as a short-term fit for the Giants, maybe?
Yeah, I mean, maybe. It's been a while since I've seen Jordan play. I think he had an injury in the meantime that maybe set him back at one point. He certainly would be a veteran presence. He knows, you know, everything he needs to know. He and Micah Hyde were a great tandem, and you throw Tre'Davious White in there, and those three might have been as good as it got, you know, for a certain period of time recently in the NFL. So it would not surprise me if the Giants at least took a look at that. And if he can play, obviously, that could be something to consider.
You know, I want to ask your opinion about this. You mentioned the fact that the Giants need to get the offensive line right. And yeah. I agree with you. Absolutely. They haven't gotten it right mostly for a decade. And I don't know what they're going to do with Evan Neal. I think he's probably staying at right tackle. At least that's the indication that Joe's given us. But as you were talking about that, it led me to thinking about something else that they need to get right. And we talked a little bit about John Mara. And I think we know John was stung a while back when all the stuff came out about the Mara family and, you know, being too involved in the day-to-day football operation and all of that. And I think that John has done his best since bringing Joe in to let Joe make the football decisions and not sort of override any of that. And my take, and I just kind of want your feeling on this. We know how John feels about Saquon. We also know how John feels about Daniel and how much he has supported Daniel in the rare public, you know, the rare times he's spoken publicly, you know, the last few years. My take is that in allowing Joe to do his job, if Joe decides to move on from Saquon and Daniel, John will let that happen. But Joe better get it right. He better get it right, because to me, you know, if he doesn't get it right, those are the kinds of things that could lead to a new GM coming in here. Just your thoughts on that.
I think the Giants are at a point where they've got to start to get a whole lot of stuff right. They got to roll whatever the dice is most favorable. They got to roll that a couple different times. This has not been, a journey of glory since they took
Absolutely
over. The first year was great. The first year was terrific. And as you noted, and as I've written, if they were reversed, this would be a complete non-story, Ed. And we would be talking about, them moving right along and
being
ascending. And this, mm-hmm. This group is set. And here we go. It didn't work out that way. And it seems to not work out that way for the Giants these days. Why? I don't know. I wish I knew, some of those answers. But when you take over a team like the New York Giants, have some success, and then it falls apart, the fans are going to mostly remember what you did lately. That's just human nature. And lately hasn't been good at any level for the New York Giants. And you could talk about someone not liking the way they treated Saquon. And I mean that both ways. There are some Giants fans who are ready to say goodbye to Saquon. There are other Giants fans that I hear from occasionally who, think he should be able to stay. And he's been a great representative. In different ways, both could be true. Sometimes relationships in anything do run their course. But for the New York Giants, I think this is a vital season. I was thinking about that the other day when I was in the car. This is a vital season, in my opinion, for Shane and Dable, and to get it right and to not have some of the what I consider to be embarrassing episodes and that kind of thing. Listen, we all screw up sometimes, but some of what we saw at the end of the season certainly could have been avoided. That really stuck with me, and that's why I've brought it up now twice. That's not the way. That's the way teams that the Giants used to shake their head at operate. That's not how the Giants have generally operated.
That's a really good point, Kim, because There was a point in my life before I covered the Giants, and I grew up as a Giants fan. I grew up sitting on Sunday afternoon, sitting on the couch with my father watching Giants games. And the Giants were awful, in the late 60s, early 70s, they were awful. By halftime, my father had muttered so much and he was so disgusting that he would leave and go out in the garage most of the time. But there's a long period of time, after George Young took over the Giants, where the only time the Giants were on the back page of Newsday or the Daily News or the Post, the only Giants stories on the back page were about football, were about what they had accomplished. And it's not necessarily that way anymore. I know that the media is different and with social media and all that, but that's not necessarily a good thing. There's a whole lot of off the field stuff that gets talked about with the Giants now. And that's not great.
Yeah, and that's the world we live in. My guess is the Jets certainly feel the same way. Any big market team probably feels the same way. Even some small market teams might feel the same way. But, and some of that has been, seemingly by design. I mean, the players do have more of a voice now. The players do have, more of an opportunity to talk about what they want to talk about with the media in their locker room and those kinds of things. So, you know, I enjoy a lot of that. I enjoy trying to get to know the players a little bit. It's not easy anymore.
No, it's not.
You know, because they're busy, they're here, they're there. We get a certain amount of time and, you know, you hope that your guy that you need to talk to that day comes into the locker room.
Absolutely. You know, last thing, Kim, I wanted to ask you, you mentioned, you know, your view of how important this coming season is for the Giants. And there's been so much chatter, you know, and I've done a lot of it myself about the idea that the Giants need to prepare for a post Daniel Jones era. And so much chatter about the Giants drafting a quarterback this year, a quarterback who may not play while Daniel Jones plays in 2024. Just your view, you know, on how, you know, on whether the Giants can afford to do that. Can they afford to take a quarterback who might not be the answer in 2024, who might not help them win more in 2024?
Well, they can do it. They certainly can do it. If you're telling me that Daniel Jones ends up, you know, getting healthy, getting back to where he can play competitive football games, and he, you know, plays out the season while the youngster watches, I do think the Giant fan may not love it, but I do think there would be an appetite for that fan to say, okay, but change is coming. We're just not going to rush the young quarterback into it. And I think the Giant fan, for the most part, could accept that.
Absolutely. I think as long as it looks and feels better than it did a lot of last season and the first part of this offseason.
Yeah, and part of that, the injuries that they had early on, I would one of the things I would have done, and I certainly would do it now if it hasn't been done, I would tell my offensive tackle to never again try to run down a blocked field goal in the first quarter of the first game of the season. That could have been as pivotal as any play, if you think about it, that the Giants could have had, good or bad. That one had the most destruction added onto it, because Andrew Thomas is that important to that offensive line.
Yeah, not to mention, you know, you're absolutely right about that. And I have no evidence of this. I haven't talked to Graham Gano about this, but we know that Graham ended up, you know, missing half the season with a knee injury. And there's part of me that wonders if Gano initially hurt his knee on that play too. You know, chasing down, you know, trying to chase down the block. I mean, we don't know how he hurt his knee, but you're absolutely right. That play couldn't have been more disastrous for the Giants. It not only cost them Andrew Thomas, to me, it revealed some of the flaws in the way they built that roster. Just because you wound up with a backup guard trying to play left tackle. And that just can't happen again. If they get into an injury situation, that can't happen again. But anyway, Kim, I do appreciate the time. I appreciate the insight. Before I let you go, why don't you just let folks know, you know, where they can find you on social media and where they can find your work and all that fun stuff, in case they don't already know, which they should, by the way.
I appreciate that, Ed. Kim Jones Sports on I still call it Twitter. I, you know, old habits die hard for me. So I'm at Kim Jones Sports. You can reach me there. And I'm writing for Newsday covering the New York Giants.
All right, Kim, thank you very, very much. Giants fans, thank you as always for listening. Please stay safe out there. Take care of each other. And we'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Support for this show comes from Mercury. There's an art to making the complex feel simple. Everything should be in sync so that even the smallest part serves a bigger purpose. Simplicity can transform your business operations. That's why Mercury powers your financial workflows from the bank account, so ambitious companies have the precision, control, and focus they need to perform at their best. Apply in minutes at mercury.com.